The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good evening, everybody. It is 10-20-20. 10 days after 10-10-10, the anniversary of 10-10-10. They're coming. People that don't know that anniversary, look up TNA Impact 10-10-10. I am Don Tony. He is
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, DT?
Not too bad. Looking forward to
this.
It's
been a long time since we talked.
I'm not kidding. I talked to you more than I talked to my fiance the last week.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, I'm talking about like on the telephone and stuff. But third day in a row. And we are here today strictly for WWE Crown Jewel. We will give our predictions. We will also speculate what this man will be doing. Why is the photo a little cut off? I have no idea. But anyway, Undertaker. Let's just get right into it right off the bat. Undertaker is currently in Saudi Arabia. He opened up, I guess, the Rita season. Yep. And Pitbull is performing there. And there is video floating around social media of Undertaker, you know, welcoming everyone to the season and introducing Pitbull. In my life, I don't know if I would have ever heard Undertaker say, Pitbull. But that's him.
Cool,
that's the screenshot from today. Now, the big question is, Mish, what do you think Undertaker will be doing?
I think Undertaker's presence alone is one of the big gets for Saudi Arabia right now, if you really think about it. I mean, one of the cornerstones of the Crown Jewel Tour is that WWE always presents like a big event or a trophy or something unique and special to Crown Jewel. I think Undertaker and Pitbull are pretty big gets for Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of cool. And I'll give points because I didn't realize that Pitbull was there, but I'll give points to Pitbull for actually showing up at WWE's beck and call.
Well, this was I don't think the Pitbull concert has anything to do, so to speak, with WWE. It's just like they're doing this whole extravaganza.
It has to. That's pretty coincidental if they're both doing it at the exact same time, you know. I would assume that there was absolutely the crossover there, and we know that Pitbull is obviously a big WWE fan. Performed at WrestleMania with Damian Priest and versus Jomo and Miz. I have no doubts in my mind. Huh?
He performed? Wasn't it Bad Bunny?
Oh, Bad Bunny.
You're thinking of like 2 years ago.
Yes, I know you're talking about. I'm sorry. Yeah.
We kind of mix up our Latino artists.
Japanese guys mix it up too. Yeah, no, it wasn't. I didn't mean to offend there. I just got it mixed up. But no, it's a good thing that Pitbull's performing there and that there's like some kind of a crossover as well, too, because Pitbull was in WWE before, too, for a cup of coffee. So it's nice. It's nice, and I hope it's a good grand gesture to the entire tour.
Absolutely. You know, it's not North Korea, but, you know, I always remind everyone, and we did a and I honestly feel that the segment I did on This Week in Wrestling History like 3-4 years ago, I think my segment was better and more detailed than Dark Side of the Ring. And what a lot of people did not realize is that when WCW went to Korea, the collision in Korea, say that fast 10 times, that was just a part of this gigantic, like week-long extravaganza. I invite anyone out there to do a little research, and you'll see newspaper articles about tourism, and you could do this, and they were going to have art shows, and I mean, it was all different things happening. It wasn't just North Korea saying, we want wrestling. No, it had nothing to do with that. So, but Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Hey, Guardian, I'm not a big fan of Latino music. You know who did that? Geraldo. Not Geraldo Rivera, but Geraldo. Anybody remember that song in the early 90s? Rico, Suave. Believe it or not, no joke. Where is it? Where is it? Seriously, I hated Geraldo as much as I hated this motherfucker. And somebody sent me this sealed gum from 1991, which I will be chewing on maybe next week on the show. But once Geraldo did Rico Suave, and then you had the Macarena, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, get the fuck out of here with this Latin music. So they ruined it for me. Geraldo, you ruined it, damn it. I ain't white. You sure I am? My mug is white. I'm drinking the tears of my enemies.
Yes, there you go.
What do you think Undertaker's going to do at the pay-per-view? He's got to do something. I have an idea, but what do you think? Spur the moment.
Oh, man. You know, I don't necessarily see him doing anything in the ring, DT. I mean, if that's what people are alluding to, I really hope that's not the case, but who knows? Maybe some kind of a memoriam, maybe some kind of a speech. There's a lot of other avenues that Undertaker can take, but I don't know. I really couldn't tell you exactly what I think, but to see him step in the ring with somebody would seem a little cheesy, though.
I hated that song, too. See what happens when you do a show at 8 o'clock instead of 11 o'clock? I can enjoy some coffee, a little more awake. You know, if it wasn't fucking the fact that this guy is doing a wrestling soup show at 7:30 p.m. on a Thursday, Thursday's show would be at 8 o'clock. But, you know, friends don't let friends drive drunk, and friends don't overlap friends podcasts. Maybe by 10, 15 minutes, we don't freak out like Tony Khan. But anyway, I'm thinking a little outside the box, and I think Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley, no holds barred, no disqualification. Is there a possibility that Undertaker helps Goldberg beat Bobby Lashley?
Maybe. Like I said, I don't know if I necessarily, like, it's really cool to have Undertaker there, but I don't know if I'd want Undertaker to be a part of the event itself. Like, you know what would be special for Undertaker to be right now? Signing autographs, taking pictures, shaking hands, being the Undertaker for these people who probably have never had another experience with the Undertaker. Do you know what I mean? His presence alone is more valuable than any storyline or precedent that they could possibly shoehorn in into somebody else's angle. I would rather have the Undertaker not compete. Maybe they can have him do an entrance because his entrances are what people love. You have him come down to the ring with a big entrance. You have him, and I know he's not like, you know, introducing the show, but why not? Have him introduce the show or have him try to close the show out. Make him a spectacle. Don't make him an in-ring product anymore.
I agree. I mean, he's got to appear live for that audience. This is what people need to understand. When you hear the nonsense that the Prince wanted Yokozuna, wanted CM Punk. First of all, like we talked about on Monday, the Crown Prince don't live in a cave. It's not like the medieval times that they still don't have running water and they pee in a hole. You know, they have internet. They know Yokozuna has been dead for a very long time. If you look at CM Punk, you know, with all due respect to CM Punk, you know, you could see what this prince wants. Spectacle. Spectacle. Right. They don't give a fuck about 5-star matches. They really don't. I mean, they don't want a shitty match. But they want spectacle. I mean, that's why you have crazy fireworks and crazy pyro, and they go over and beyond because that's what it is, especially over there. It is more spectacle, pomp, and circumstance than the actual in-ring quality. That's why I hate people that compare WWE to AEW. It's two totally different products. They're both fruit, but they're two totally different types of fruit. Right. I think Undertaker, at minimum, has to come out, even if he says, "Welcome to Crown Jewel." Right. You know, and I think that's good enough for the fans.
You have a nice entrance. You have the lights go down. You get the purple lights. You get the fog. Maybe you have a vulture or, you know what I mean? You have a little bit of that entrance at Crown Jewel. And knowing how Crown Jewel is, it might be a spectacle entrance. It might be an entrance we've never seen before. But I just can't, I can't get on board with him competing in any way, even if it's just a run-in, even if it's just a choke slam, DT. I don't want to see that. I'd rather, he's at the point of his career right now that the Phenom is of a legendary status. Allow it to be that. We don't need him to prove it anymore. He doesn't need to prove it anymore. And if you recall, DT, if you go back to those Undertaker documentaries, when he literally said that if Vince asks, I will be there. And for a lot of us, a lot of fans, it was kind of like worrying to hear that, because this was also prefaced by all the injuries he's taken over the years, all the damage, all the aches, all the pains, everything that this man has done. And even through all of that, in all of these years that he's given to Vince McMahon, he still said at the very end of that, if Vince wants me there, I'll be there.
Did you ever hear the unedited version? Did you ever see the unedited version? The unedited version, the extended version of that documentary, Undertaker says, if Vince asks, if he wants, I will be there. Then he proceeded to say, if the Crown Prince asks, I must be there.
Really?
That's
awesome.
The amount of money that these guys get, that's why, like I say, you know, I mean, this is not about AEW tonight, but that extra half hour last week, this King of the Ring, Queen's Crown, this is all spectacle hyping up a $50 million pay-per-view. And they pay extra because they want this person or this person or this person. Some people make more money in that one night than they do in 6 months. I don't think people understand that.
Wow.
So, you know, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens with Undertaker. I mean, we will know in less than 24 hours, but if he gets involved in any match, I have a feeling it might be Bobby Lashley. Unless we get some, you know, I don't know, Drew Gulak or somebody that shows up in the ring and Undertaker just comes out and chokeslams him.
It could always be something like that, something cornball, where you have somebody come out and try to disrupt the event, like maybe Jinder or Veer or Shanky, and they start talking crap, and Undertaker comes out and clears out the ring, clears all three out. I mean, yeah, I can see the wacky storyline coming from this, but I hope they don't do that. He doesn't need to do that anymore. His existence alone is more than enough presence for them.
You think if the Crown Prince said, "We want Reginald, and we want Undertaker to chase Reginald for the title." You think he'd do it? Imagine Undertaker running the 24/7 title.
Yeah, running. Period. Imagine Undertaker running. You know,
with the jacket on too. I tried to run with one of those leather overcoats in like 1992, and I stepped on it, and I did the JC Jane. Do the JC Jane. By the way, I heard she's okay.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, we'll chat tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow, everyone.
Hacksaw is also recovering, too.
Yes, I mean, if we're emergency talk about surgery today. Hacksaw.
Yeah. And he was recovering now. So, you know, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. Little plug for tomorrow. And I know a lot of you will probably see this on a replay. I'm still going to plug it anyway. Tomorrow, right after Crown Jewel, I'll be here live doing a recap. I am playing hooky from work half a day tomorrow, less than half a day. And then tomorrow night, I got a special treat for all of you out there. This is the little teaser. If you look on the left, that is CM Punk, bare-assed. And yes, I put the Jeff Hardy head in front of his crack. That was from 2005 3 days before he got his WWE tryout match against Scotty Tuhati, I believe. That is an event. Festive Sword, thank you for subscribing, Festive. The first Chris Candido Memorial Show, I did that show with Mass Maniac. CM Punk took on Ian Rotten. And the funny thing is, if any of you out there have ever seen the match that is on YouTube, the Title Match Network airs, number one, that there are more cuts. There are more cuts on that match than Abdullah the Butcher's forehead. The video I have is uncut, uncensored, with the original salty commentary. If you go on YouTube and watch Title Match's network version, they got our video fan cam footage, and they edited out all of the wrestle crap. Put it this way, when the commentators at the end of the match call it, in sarcasm, match of the year, the fans weren't into it. You'll see wrestle crap. You will see and hear some very salty commentary. I have the right to show it because I went halves with the Mass Maniac on that show. So for the first time ever, you're going to see unedited, uncensored, the entire 20 minutes of CM Punk versus Ian Rotten. Not the 12-minute edited, let's make it look like a beautiful technical wrestling match. Oh, would you watch tomorrow? and all that Moon Over Broadway by CM Punk, that's not on the title match footage. They edited all that shit out. Tomorrow you watch it raw and uncut. Raw, uncut, and uncooked. So, all right. So, we're going to get right into the predictions because tonight, again, is strictly just Crown Jewel. And as we go through the matches, if you're tuning in any other outlet other than YouTube, stop by YouTube, go into the chat, and post your predictions, you know, for bragging rights. Post your predictions because the replay will be up there and we will monitor it. And sometime this weekend, we'll be like impressed that some of you get it all right. And for all of you that get it so wrong, we'll laugh.
Is there a Crown Jewel Patreon contest this year or no?
No. We talked about it yesterday. It's going to be NXT Halloween Havoc. We did NXT Halloween Havoc because NXT never seems to get love with the predictions. And unfortunately, our Patreon is much smaller now, so doing 2-3 contests a month is, you know, unless you want to pay. kidding.
I mean...
No. We're doing NXT. Show a little love to NXT this month. Crown Jewel, I think, is very predictable. Seriously.
Yeah.
So... let's get into it. So
yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do it. Where are we? Oh, another match was announced tonight. Let me pull that sumbitch up. Where are you? Oh, here it is. Okay. Kickoff show. I guess this... oh, the kickoff is at 11 a.m. Oh!
Yes. So it's actually... it's 11 a.m. Eastern... and it's 8 a.m. in California.
That's the kickoff show. 12 noon is the main pay-per-view.
Yeah, but 9 a.m. is the start of Crown Jewel in California. But if you want to watch the full show, people in California got to be up, ready to watch.
8 o'clock.
Wrestling at 8 in the morning.
Oh, poor baby. I got to wake up at 8. Oh.
They don't get their Seattle's best till at least 9.
Sometimes I don't go to sleep until 8.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, the kickoff match tomorrow. I don't know if the belts are on the line. I seriously doubt it. Two different brands, but we got the Usos taking on Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander.
You know what is really interesting about this? Because I expect both of these teams to be seen for different reasons later on in the evening. First off, let's open up the fact that both teams are heel teams. Bobby Lashley does have a no-holds-barred match later on with Goldberg. And obviously in the main event, or what we would presume to be one of the main events, if not for the Hell in the Cell, would have been Roman versus Brock Lesnar, obviously with Uso supporting the fam. So when it comes down to this, I think in this scenario, they're going to let Shelton and Cedric win because I think that they need that I guess, that edge in order to show the fans who may or may not be familiar with what's going on between Goldberg and Bobby Lashley when they come out. And I expect them to come out and hurt Goldberg and maybe hurt Gage. And I don't know if that's necessarily before, during, or after the match. But I almost really believe that it's going to be a unity of the Hurt Business once again. So, and as far as the Usos, they're a little bit of henchmen right now. I know that they're the champions and stuff like that, but this isn't a championship match. This is just an exhibition match. This is the kickoff match. So it's going to be a great match to watch. All four men are very talented, but I think that Cedric and Shelton are going to be the Hurt Business is going to be the ones to go over in this.
Shout out to Manic Magician, bitch. I just like that name. Do some magic, bitch. No, but shout out. Right. Dream 101, Nathan Rader, Austin Nance, Eddie Valentino, Kevin Oshiro, Russell Segee, Joseph Ramos, Phil the Promoter, Chaos, Astro, Steve, everybody. I'm going with the Usos. First of all, I personally think that the Usos and Roman Reigns will be on the private plane back to the United States quicker than anyone else. I think Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns might be one of the first matches of the night. I'm not saying it's going to be the first, but right. I got this feeling that within the first...
They're going to open up with it?
Yeah, I think the Usos are going to win. And I think... You know, just to maybe get a little bit extra attention on themselves and just to make everybody aware that they are in the building. And then when Roman Reigns has his match with Brock Lesnar, maybe the Usos try to interfere. I mean, it's not a no DQ match. And you and I already talked a little bit about Roman versus Brock, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But me personally, sure. I think the Usos get the win. Shelton and Cedric, I mean, I freaking love that the Hurt Business is back. I'd like to see MVP make an appearance on this pay-per-view, yes. But I just feel the Usos, they'll be the ones, I think, that'll end up on top. So, we'll see. Kickoff match. Regular pay-per-view, here you go. We're going to kick right off with the first match. They're not in completely like perfect order. All right. Ah, you son of a bitch. Fucking Goldberg fucks it up again. There we go. Hold on. Once it starts playing, I can stop it. There we go. Goldberg versus Bobby. Bobby Lashley said that he... Thank God we don't, after tomorrow, we don't have to hear that shit no more.
You get a bit of a break.
Oh, yeah. I you don't understand. I am a big Goldberg fan. I'm willing to chew 30-year-old gum for this guy. Well, 25-year-old gum for this guy.
Right.
But, I mean, the whole storyline sucks. Shout out to Chaos. Right.
I mean, it's not a great storyline. I think the best part about it is that we had the introduction to Gage, and anything that keeps Bobby Lashley relevant is good by me. We want Bobby Lashley to go back to being the Hurt Business. We want MVP to recover and become part of the Hurt Business. The Hurt Business storyline has nothing to do with Goldberg at this point, but we know why Goldberg is there. I don't think there's any fan that's been watching wrestling for more than a hot minute that doesn't understand that Goldberg is a star attraction for Crown Jewel. He's going to be there to give the fans a nice warm moment, a nice retro moment. He's going to get the win. Now, however, as much as I believe that Goldberg is going to get the win for this, I do think that the Hurt Business might come together after the match and do a little beatdown. I can absolutely see Gage becoming part of the match for one reason or another. And I can absolutely see them trying to continue this just a little bit longer by having the Hurt Business attack Goldberg and Gage.
Maybe the Hurt Business come out to attack and then Undertaker's music hits and the crowd freaking erupts. The only problem is, just imagine how long it'll take for Undertaker. Put it this way. You put the treadmill up to like 2 miles an hour and Undertaker would still take 2.5 minutes to get down that rampway. So I don't see Undertaker. Yeah, the more I think about that, if Hurt Business get involved, I can't see Undertaker doing something because it'd take too long. I mean, right. You know, it's a long walk. It's a long walk. It's like when you can't find a spot in the parking lot, you go into a supermarket, and you have to park, like, around the corner. I mean, that's how long he's got to walk. But I agree with you. I think Goldberg is going to get this win. Because it's, you know, falls count anywhere, there's going to be some clusterfuck. There's going to be some interference.
Sure.
I just hope we don't see too much of Gage doing stuff. I mean, I understand the storyline, but I just don't like it. It should have ended, you know, after their last match. I mean, that match was not very good. So they're going to do the street fight. And look, again, Goldberg still looks awesome at his age. He could still move halfway decent. And that's good. Again, you got to look at it, think of it like Crown Jewel Saudi Arabia. Almost everyone out there that are even Goldberg fans don't want to see this guy win. But you got to think of it in the Saudi Arabia sense, and something tells me that Goldberg wins. So we will see. And by the way, big shout out to Guardian of Chaos. Thank you for the $9.99 super chat. Yes, I will be having some espresso tomorrow morning. I will be drinking some pretty damn strong coffee. I got like 2 weeks worth of sleep to make up. So, and he hopes all is well with you too. So much love. Much Thank love, you. Chaos. Nice talking to you last week or the week before as well. Tomorrow, going to be a fun show. I'm just going to sit in the chat room all night long, live stream, Q&A. I don't know if we're going to do calls, but we'll see how the night is going. But, you know, the last hour and a half last week when we did just chat, people were like it was their favorite segment in months, you know, as far as that format goes. And we want to do the whole thing tomorrow night like that. So maybe for one night only we do that. So yeah, anyway,
maybe
next on the list. Talk to me. Now, I put this early because to me, it's the most predictable match.
Yeah. It kind of is. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with the match. And I mean, I was talking to Joe Numbers earlier this week, and I was saying to him, I'm like, you know, the best part about this match is that this might be a match where Drew can have a no holds barred, a bare meat match with, like he had with Sheamus earlier in the year. I can see Big E being the kind of guy that you can throw a couple punches at him and he's not going to go cry to Vince McMahon. This is going to be a match between two guys that can get pretty visceral. My pick is Big E to win. It would be very weird and offsetting and upsetting to a lot of people if Big E lost his title at Crown Jewel, especially so soon, you know? So I don't think Big E is getting dethroned or decrowned or detitled anytime soon, but I do have high expectations for this match considering the two guys that are in it. Big E, who needs to prove himself as a champion, and Drew McIntyre, while he might not be championship material right now, you know, down the road there's absolutely opportunity for this guy to be back in main event contention.
Sure.
So
yeah, I am 100% with you. I think people forget the quality of matches that Drew had with Sheamus, and Big E has had some damn good matches as well. This is going to be very physical. It's going to be very even at points, and I think you know, Drew McIntyre will have enough offense that he will not, even with the loss, no one is going to think that he is buried. Right now, Drew is giving back. Drew had the title for almost a year. I mean, not exactly, but he had it for quite some time. And during arguably the most difficult period in WWE history, other than, you know, the steroid trial and, you know, the early and the mid-90s. I mean, COVID situation was, you know, everything was in disarray. I mean, it's not fun to perform in front of TV screens. But still, right now, Drew is giving back. Big E will get the win. And we'll probably almost definitely guaranteed see a handshake, a sign of respect. And Drew McIntyre probably lift Big E's arm in victory at the end, and the crowd will give him a standing ovation.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go. All right, next on the list.
I think it's going to be, yeah.
Yeah, no, good.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I think it's going to be a friendly contest. I don't think that you know, there's going to be any cheap shots taken towards the end. I don't see Drew McIntyre turning heel and doing something horrible to Big E. They've kept it pretty clean and they've kept it pretty competitive, but I see no reason why these guys need to become enemies over this match.
The match itself will be uber intense, but at the end of it, nothing but respect for each other. They will coexist again. All right.
We had a long discussion about this one.
All right.
Obviously, Doudrop versus Zelina Vega, DT.
Yes. I don't want to repeat what I said on Monday, but, you know, I still believe, I really believe, and nobody's going to tell me otherwise. I mean, it's pretty obvious that WWE, with the greatest Royal Rumble in history, you know, the greatest, not just a great Royal Rumble or, you know, a Royal Rumble and use a different term of it, the greatest ever. The tournaments, the trophies, this, everything is about spectacle. Why do you think, seriously, and I'm not trying to sound like a jerk right now, you go to the richest people in the United States, you know, Bill Gates and the homes like that, you know, of course they're extravagant, but you go to like Saudi Arabia or Iran or Iraq and you go into some of these castles and like even the lint on the floor is 24 karat gold plated. Like it's all about spectacle and substance. I mean, it's just, you know, it's all show. And when WWE has to sell to Saudi Arabia a $50 million price tag, and you look at all social media, WWE's dying, and say, hey, we'll give you the King of the Ring tournament. We haven't done that. We will crown a king. In fact, we will do the first ever Queen's Crown tournament and Crown Prince. Here is a list of women that you could choose from. Who would you like to see crowned queen of the WWE? And me, I thought about this long and hard, and it's interesting that Eva Marie is nowhere on the TV anymore. I get this weird feeling since Eva Marie and Zelina Vega, Zelina Vega wrestles better than Eva Marie, but I get this weird feeling that maybe Zelina Vega wins, gets crowned queen, and then on Monday Night Raw, we will have this entrance with her music, and she will walk to the ring extremely slow, maybe with red carpet, and if WWE really wanted to troll the fans, you have Zelina Vega hand the crown over to Eva Marie. I think Zelina Vega will be the winner in this match. I like your idea. I like it very much. But the way I just picture it, in Saudi Arabia and the Crown Prince, you look at all the women available, the women that wanted to go. Again, I know there's a lot of people that were not in this tournament, guys, gals. You don't know if those women wanted to go to Saudi Arabia. Remember that.
Right.
Number two, some women obviously not really welcome in Saudi Arabia. Maybe not banned, but maybe not welcomed. Especially since you still hear a lot of incidents and a lot of ways things have not gotten better. So you look at, you know, the Crown Prince, hey, pick from this list. I just can't help but to think that the Crown Prince, how do you pass up Zelina Vega? Just in my opinion. So I'm going with Zelina Vega to win it.
Yeah, I'm still underneath the premise that Zelina Vega is going to win. I'm not sure if there's going to be fuckery involved in the match. Eva Marie is an interesting name because you are right. She has kind of disappeared from the limelight in every facet. But at the same time, let's also not forget that Doudrop got a accidental win on Shayna by landing on top of her and getting that three count, which wasn't a three count because she beat Shayna. It was a three count because she just got her in that position to get the three count. Shayna was by no means defeated. Like, she was not physically beaten down. So there's bad blood all around Doudrop at the moment. And as much as I think that she deserves a chance in the spotlight, I think that when you're talking about the queen, a crown jewel, I think that aesthetically to that culture, they probably find Zelina Vega a better choice.
Yeah. I mean, if the older Saudi folk out there aren't thrilled with Doudrop winning. What do you think Doudrop's going to do? Do you think she's going to look at them and go, you know, like she does? No, I don't think so.
Right.
What a bottle to the head, which I do not condone, by the way. So we're both, wow, I thought you were actually going to pick Doudrop because your analysis Doudrop was pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think that if WWE was, if this was any other pay-per-view, DT, if this was any other pay-per-view, I would say Doudrop would win. Because this is specifically Crown Jewel, I don't believe she has a chance. I don't believe it at all. I don't think that WWE is going to take the gamble with the Doudrop character overseas. I think Zelina Vega is the safer bet. And at the end of the day, it's easy to take the belt off of her because she's not seen as she won't be seen as a belt. What am I saying? The champion to the crown? It'll be easy to take away her crown. So I don't see much from this either. So I'll have to go with that.
Everyone, if you're enjoying the show, we would greatly appreciate it. Do us a solid. Hit that thumbs up. You'd be surprised. That actually helps us get a little more exposure. The people that don't like us, our episodes pop up in their channel, and they're like, why is this showing up in my channel? So, no, seriously. I want to see those likes hit 200 in the next 5 minutes, and I would really very much appreciate it. Thank you. All right, so we're both going with Queen Zelina. Queen
yes,
Zelina.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's talk on the King's side. Xavier Woods versus Finn Balor.
Dude, I think this arguably has the potential to be one of the best matches of the night. I mean, Finn Balor and Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods has been throwing out a lot more strong matches, stronger matches than what Xavier Woods usually puts out. And, you know, a lot of people agree that maybe it's his turn. Maybe it's his time to get some kind of a recognition. Maybe he doesn't get a world championship opportunity, but maybe becoming the King of the Ring is the kind of recognition that Xavier Woods needs. On the flip side, you have Finn Balor just coming out of his Roman Reigns defeat onto a new brand. But at the same time, there's a lot of unanswered questions about the rope breaking and everything else like that. And I think that Finn Balor is another guy that can perform at a high velocity level and make people look good and have these great matches. So when I look at Finn Balor versus Xavier Woods, I'd like Finn Balor to take this, but I think it's better for Xavier Woods to do it. It's a feel-good moment. I have no problem. You know Kofi's going to come out there. You know Big E's going to come out there. It's going to be a big celebration. And once again, you have to understand, Crown Jewel is about the spectacle of the moment. If you want your feel-good moments, you want your firework moments, Xavier Woods is going to be that moment. Finn Balor, as much as you can put out the demon or the smoke or whatever else like that, I think the higher energy goes to Xavier Woods, a lot more deserving in this scenario.
You know me, I don't bring up color or gender, sexual preference, whatever floats your boat. I honestly it's not that I could care less, but you know, but I think it's something that, you know, should be made a point. We have 10 matches. 10 matches?
Yeah.
10 matches. Yeah, 10. Okay.
10.
With the exception of Roman Brock, Edge and Seth Rollins, and I guess Zelina Vega and Doudrop. We could go one step further. Look at, again, I'm not trying to make this about race, but for the people out there that have been saying for years and years and years that WWE does not give minorities an opportunity on the same level. I mean, you look at literally, you know, this match lineup, literally 7 or 8 matches out of 10 has someone, you know, of Indian, you know, Latino or black descent. Just look at the Usos, Shelton and Cedric, Mansoor versus Mustafa Ali, Zelina Vega, Xavier Woods, Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, but Doudrop is UK.
Yeah.
Finn Balor is UK.
Yeah.
It's a very mixed card. It's I mean, if you're if you're trying to bring out the fact that, you know, it is like it was in the 80s, it's not.
It's a nice
WWE has mix. Done a good job, and they should be commended on the fact that they've opened up the door for a lot of people, no matter what their race, culture, creed is, in order to get an opportunity to shine on these shows. So absolutely. They should be commended for that. I agree with you, dude.
Yeah. Shout out to Chaos again. SRHJohn07, thank you for the $10 super chat. $10. I love when Wood said that Balor is going to stay a prince while I evolve as king. Evolve to a king.
That's a badass line, dude. That was a badass line. Yes.
Listen, I have said this for a while now. We just had not too long ago WWE make that top 50 tag teams in history, and the New Day was ranked number one.
Right.
They don't want to have the Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty comparisons years from now. Big E, now heavyweight champion. Kofi, Hall of Fame career, heavyweight champion also. Xavier Woods, multi-tag team champion, a little bit lacking on his resume. And I think...
not really. You know what? You know where Xavier wins in that? When it comes to the fact of social media and the company side of things, integrating YouTube into WWE, you know what I mean? Yeah. As far as Xavier Woods' value, whether you look at it as the person or you look at it as the character, he's done a lot outside of the ring in order to add value to himself.
Yeah, I'm not questioning that. What I'm saying is when you compare his resume to Big E and Kofi, in the end, it's going to be a little bit lopsided. So, given Xavier Woods, Xavier Woods deserves to win this King of the Ring. I mean, I have said for about 3 years now that Xavier Woods has upped his game substantially. Like, up until 3 or 4 years ago, I mean, Xavier Woods was the weak link of the New Day. I mean, no question. Yeah. You go back 3 years, everyone, you'll see what I'm talking about. He got injured. He came back. And that guy came back with something just clicked, and he just turned it up a notch. And Xavier Woods, to me, sometimes is the guy of all three in the ring. And I think Finn Balor's had a wonderful career, especially overseas in Japan and, you know, other countries. But Xavier Woods needs this much more than Finn Balor. And yes, it's just spectacle more than anything else, but fuck the spectacle in this case, because in the end, that is on his resume. King of the Ring 2021. So I am going with Xavier Woods to win. I don't think there's any question.
No, no.
And unfortunately, we will never find out why the top rope snapped. They're going to just say, shit happens.
Right.
Shit happens. I mean,
it's kind of sad, but I think Finn Balor deserved more than that. But
very sad.
Yeah, let's continue.
Okay. I think this might be the other extremely predictable match of the night.
Yes. But you know what? I think the thing that we won't be able to predict is I think that if the potential of Finn Balor and Xavier Woods is going to be match of the night, this also has potential to be match of the night. And it's two guys that we don't normally talk about for going above and beyond. But, I mean, the mentor-mentee breakdown relationship has been going on for a while. Mansoor has been a guy who's been on WWE TV for a couple years now, who's had training wheels attached the entire time. After this match, DT, his official singles run by himself starts. This match, even though it's just a match, is a lot more in context. And I don't doubt, even though I'm not a huge fan of Ali, and I've said it before, and even though he's a hometown boy, I have no doubt in my mind that Mustafa Ali will go out there and kill himself to make Mansoor look like $1 million. I think that this is going to be a very giving match. It's going to be a great back and forth. And my belief, when Mansoor finally wins, it will be that spectacle moment, the hometown boy coming back home and winning it, you know, for everyone. It's going to be a very solid public moment, and I think there's going to be a lot of cheering for it, too. I think overall, as far as Saudi Arabia goes and Crown Jewel goes, this might be one of the most important matches to them on the card, more than just regular WWE fans. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I don't remember a lot of things when I was a kid, really young. I mean, there's a couple of things. I remember the night Elvis died, the day Elvis died. I remember a couple of Halloweens. We talked about one yesterday. I remember, you know, a couple of events, going to birthday party when I was a kid. I remember my dad taking me to Yankee Stadium in 1976 for a playoff game. One of the things that I still remember to this day is the day that my dad took the training wheels off my bike. I'm not kidding. I used to ride my bike. I was only allowed to go maybe one or two houses past my house. And I had training wheels. I was a kid, preteen, child. And I remember the day just riding back and forth, and my dad took the training wheels off, and he literally ran down the block with me, holding on to the back of the bike to keep me steady, and then he let go. And I remember riding my bike, and it was like the greatest feeling in the world, and it's weird that I still remember that to this day. And tomorrow, that's the same thing with Mansoor. That even though he's been around for a while and he's been really earning his stripes, tomorrow Mansoor is going to push him down the block, and at some point is going to let go. Hands death. Yeah. If you stay alive enough for me to say, welcome, thank you for subscribing. Mansoor gets this win. It could arguably be the second or third best match of the night. It's going to be hard to top Hell in the Cell. And, you know, I'm not sure about Reigns versus Lesnar yet as far as length goes, match time. But I expect Mansoor, long speech afterwards. You know, somebody will enter the ring, interview him, and he will address the crowd, and he will talk about his last few years in WWE, and he's proud to represent that area of the world. And Mansoor will, you would think it was Hulkamania over there. Mansooramania. So, good for him. Good for him. I'm excited for this match tomorrow. A couple of years ago, we used to joke that it was like the scene in Godfather with Don Fanucci, you know, and Robert De Niro getting screwed out of a job. Mansoor has proven that he belongs. And tomorrow, a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. Yeah, yeah. But
that's where I think, you know what, though? But that's where the unsung hero in all of this is going to be Mustafa Ali. The reason that this match is going to be good, the reason that Mansoor is going to look good at the end of this match is because what Mustafa Ali is willing to sacrifice and what he's willing to do and let Mansoor do in order to get him over.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of Ali, and I've definitely disagreed with a couple of his political viewpoints over the years. But as far as being a consummate performer, the guy absolutely is aces. He's constantly coming up to the bar. He's constantly performing well in the ring. He's good. He's exactly the kind of person that Mansoor needs. So, yeah, I agree with you. This is going to be the spectacle of the night.
The Extreme MWE. I do remember that with Mansoor with the 50-0 on 205 Live. Believe it or not, if you search my social media, there was a little controversy at that time because when they said he was 49-0 or something, I had actually added it up and put proof that he was actually 50-0. I remember he was going for that 50th win, and when I added up the numbers, he actually already had 50. So I don't remember all the details, but I do remember talking about that. So, looking forward to that match tomorrow. Definitely looking forward to it. Next on the list, Randy Orton and Riddle versus AJ Styles and Omos. What do you think? Come on, guys, let's get to 200. We're at 188.
All four of these men deliver. AJ Styles and Randy Orton obviously are going to be the veterans in this, but Matt Riddle and Omos have been acceptable characters in and out of the ring. honestly, I don't see the titles being dropped tomorrow. I see Randy Orton and Matt Riddle retaining. However, I think that Omos is going to break out a little bit. I think we're going to see Omos maybe perform some new moves, or maybe become a little more savage, or do something that's been out of the norm for him. And I think that the spectacle in this match, what people want to see, is giant ass Omos throwing people around. So I don't doubt that that's going to be a major part of the match, but I don't expect Randy Orton and Riddle to lose the belts.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, we have to, obviously, now with the draft going into effect on Friday, we got to see, and we'll know within a week or two, we'll know who is the next tag team in line to go up against Randy Orton and Riddle in this feud. Because I don't think AJ Styles and Omos will continue for a third pay-per-view. But then again, Survivor Series. Survivor Series, they're going to face the tag team champions of SmackDown. And if it remains the Usos, then that's where you're going to be going with this. You know, Survivor Series is in November. There is no pay-per-view between now and Survivor Series. And if you remember the last bunch of years, going back to as old as Kurt Angle, it's on! It's on! You know, the feuds for the next month could be the Raw versus SmackDown. The big question is, will NXT be part of this? And I got news for you. As much as I could see NXT, they get a little rub off of Survivor Series, now with the 2.0 and the total, you know, shift and focusing on the younger talent for the most part, I think the gap between Raw, SmackDown, and NXT champions is much more. Even though Io Shirai is worthy, Raquel Gonzalez has dominated, even though her run has been a little bit lackluster. You know, right. We got to see what happens with Ciampa and Breaker. I mean, I'm not doing predictions yet. We'll do predictions on Monday, next Monday, for Halloween Havoc. But, yeah, Randy Orton and Riddle will retain. Omos will do some of his power moves. Yep. I have a feeling this match might be one of the more disappointing matches of the night. It might feel more like a Raw match than anything else. I am a little bit tired, though, of Omos just totally owning Riddle. Because if anybody has paid attention over the interaction between Riddle and Omos for like 6 to 8 months or whatever it is.
Right.
And it's got to be that long because Omos debuted at Mania. Didn't he debut at Mania? The beginning of April? May, June, July, August, September, October. So it's before 6 months. It's 6, 7 months.
It works, though, because I think what we're eventually building up to, when this feud finally ends, and I don't see the feud ending anytime soon, but when this feud officially ends, I think you're going to see this moment where Matt Riddle finally defeats Goliath. And I think that you're literally looking at the David and Goliath story, not to throw it back to Monday night, but I think you're looking at a version of that where Matt Riddle keeps losing against Omos. But there's going to be a moment where Matt Riddle does kick the shit out of him.
Maybe it's tomorrow.
And that'll be good. That'll be the feel-good moment, you know? Think as horrible as Matt Riddle's gimmick started, and we were just like, oh, who is this idiot? I think he's become very endearing to the fans. I think the fans like his simplicity, his simple mind, his simple heart. And even Randy Orton, a guy who's cynical and darker and has been playing the role of the Viper for years, has also kind of helped the audience become in love with Matt Riddle because of the sympathy that he shows. Because even when you see Randy Orton wanting to strangle the living shit out of Matt Riddle, he doesn't. And he reels it back in and goes, yeah, dude, you want to know the plan, Matt? You know what I mean? And that's how it goes. So I think at the end of the day, maybe not today or maybe not tomorrow, but someday you're going to see Matt Riddle eventually get or almost get his comeuppance from Matt Riddle.
Yeah. By the way, thank you, everybody. We're at 200 likes. Much love. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. All right, next match on the list. We're just going through these very nicely.
Good.
Oh, boy. Hell in a Cell. Edge versus Seth Rollins. This is the match I'm looking forward to the most.
This is the match I'm looking forward to the least.
Really?
I like the storyline. Don't get me wrong. Edge versus Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins being a creepy dude, eating all of Edge's food out of the fridge. I get it. Edge wants to kick his ass. But overall, putting Edge and Seth Rollins in a Hell in a Cell, I'm not expecting this to be a high spectacle match. I'm not expecting them to do what it takes in order to make a Hell in a Cell the extra mile. Not because they don't want to, but because they can't. I don't think that these two guys, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you're not talking about good wrestlers. I just don't think they have the chemistry to pull off a Hell in a Cell on this level.
I don't think the Cell...
And I think Edge wins, so...
Yeah, I don't think the Cell is going to close out the pay-per-view. A lot of you are saying that, and I understand why, because of the logistics part of it. But, you know, the amount of money that's being spent on this, you know, again... you know, they're not like in ancient times over there. They have the technology to raise the Cell after the match is over.
True.
So it's not.
But like, visually, that's a WWE thing. Yeah. Not necessarily a Crown Jewel thing, but that is visually a WWE thing where you save the biggest gimmick match for the end of the night.
Yeah. Because, you know? Look, as much as WWE does close out events and pay-per-views with women, and many times earned, rightfully so. I do not believe the women will be closing out Crown Jewel. There's no way whatsoever. So then you think if Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar goes on early, like I have a feeling it is. I'm not saying it will, but I got a feeling because they got to fly right out of there. At least Roman and Usos and get to SmackDown the next day. So that match could go on very, very early. And if that does, Big E and Drew are not closing it out. Goldberg and Lashley is not closing it out. The women, the three-way, I should say, is not closing it out. That would leave Seth Rollins versus Edge to close it out. There is a possibility. Now, remember how cool it was for Edge to bring... to go into brood mood. Now, with all the pyro and the pomp and...
Yeah, that was cool. Absolutely. Yeah. I was agreeing with you. Yeah.
So, my point is, if we don't get brood mood tomorrow, we don't get that entrance tomorrow, then it proves what you and I said all along, that the only reason why they brought back any thinking of the brood was because they knew they couldn't use pyro at SummerSlam.
Right.
And they wanted something big for Edge. And since they couldn't do pyro, well, we'll do fire instead.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. But this match could very well end up closing out the show. It could very well. Shout out to Roger Rubio. Thank you very much for the $5 super chat. He thinks and hopes that they'll tell a good story inside the Cell with Rollins taking a couple of big spots. Hell yeah. Hoping they have a great match. Much love to you, Mish. No love to me.
I am sure he loves you too. Roger, thank you very much, sir. I hope they do tell a good story. Like I said, the buildup has been okay. I know some people have found the home invasion stuff corny and hokey, but I don't know. Sometimes I miss that corny hokiness about wrestling because it reminds me of earlier days. But at the same time, as much as I do like Edge, and as much as DT's right, you know, that whole brood entrance really got a fire underneath people's asses. I hope that these two guys can tell the level of story in that ring that should reflect a storyline of this nature. I mean, you have to think about it. If you're trying to compare this match to the storyline, Edge should go out there and just beat Seth half to death with a baseball bat. You were in my house. You were ruffling through my kids' things. You were sniffing my wife's panties. Like, I'm going to murder you when I see you. Like, this is not a match that's to be taken like, oh, look, arm bar. Oh, look, arm bar. Like, you know, this is not a rest hold kind of match. If they're going to have a match that reflects this feud, this has to be something that's savage, that's visceral, that's straight out carnal in every sense of the word. They need to be tearing at each other. This needs to be a brawl. This needs to be a brutal bloodfest. But I don't think they're capable of doing that. Not because they aren't physically willing to bleed. Not like they're not physically willing to take a dangerous spot. Of course they are. I just don't know if they realize how visceral of a storyline this is. I don't know if they just have the capability of telling that to the ring or in the ring and showing off the psychology between both guys.
I think they do, without a doubt. Their first match was awesome. Their second match was even better. And I think tomorrow's match is going to be the best of the three. And I think Edge goes out on top. That is another one of those feel-good moments. I think Edge definitely goes out on top on this one. We will definitely see some crazy-ass bump, something. I'm not going to say a spear off the top of the cell or anything like that, but...
Dude, let me just say, I hope I'm wrong. I hope everybody out there that thinks that this is going to be match of the night, I hope I'm fucking wrong. I really do.
Yeah.
Because I would rather see an amazing match and have to eat my hat than to go out there and go, yeah, I don't feel anything for this match, and it ends up proving me right.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, as we were talking, you know, I'm starting to think more and more with a lot of you out there that that match very well could end that pay-per-view tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because it's, to me, the only two matches that close out the night is either Edge, Rollins, Hell in a Cell, or Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. And I just can't see Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar sticking around for two and a half extra hours. And I know what a lot of people are going to say. That's only two and a half extra hours. By the way, shout out to the family. Much love. We will be doing a little mini predictions contest. Actually, I don't even know if we have enough time. I'll put one up after the show today. So if you're a channel member here, we'll put up a little impromptu contest. We'll do a mini one. So make sure you just check out the channel. Now, as far as Edge goes, you know, if the Cell does not close out the night, while the Cell is being brought up, and yes, the Cell is lifted up after the match is over, so it doesn't take them a half an hour to bring it back to the top. They could do something with the Undertaker or have him come out and make an appearance or something after. I'm not saying to get involved in the match. I'm saying after everything is over with that, while they just do the little finishing touches to make sure everything is secure and all that. So, but for me, no question, Edge gets the win on here. You know, and look, they're both now on Raw. So who knows if this feud is going to be totally done with. Something tells me that Seth Rollins may need to take a little time off. Or Edge. One of them is going to have to take a little time off because being on the same brand.
I mean, I'd love to see them have a match, DT, where at the end of the match, if both men take time off of TV, nobody bitches about it.
So, well, we will see what happens. Next match, next to last one in our predictions tonight.
Thank you, Crazy, by the way. Thank you for the donation.
Oh, yeah, Crazy Cruiserweight, you know, in the spirit of Crown Jewel. Mish, stop being an AEW fan.
Yes.
Join the AEW Hater Club with him. You will feel better.
Maybe.
We have to do an AEW exorcism one of these nights. Seriously. We got to get Crazy Cruiserweight. We got to put WWE water. Didn't they have like the old juice? We got to like sprinkle him with some WWE juice or the Edge sodas. Remember the RC juice. Cola Edge?
Yes.
You got to sprinkle him with some WWE water. You're healed. And Cruiserweight will be like, we'll be sprinkling the water on him and it'll be like, main event spoilers. AEW Dark. No. Main event spoilers. No. Dark match at Raw. AEW Dark. No, Raw. I mean, we got to convert him so he can give us some AEW spoilers as well. We're just joking. All right. Becky, Bianca, Sasha. Every time I think about this match, I think of Becky, Ronda, Charlotte.
Right.
I keep thinking of that match. I don't know why, but I just keep thinking of that three-way. I think this three-way has the potential to be even better than all the hype for Becky, Ronda, Charlotte at that time. Now, speaking of Charlotte, I will warn everyone that shit stirs online. This is not a real poster, but shit stirs online are trying to push around this rumor that this is actually going to happen tomorrow. Now, I don't know what the hell print is on the ring, or, you know, the Sasha's ring. Maybe that's the artist who did this. You know, easy PNG Photoshop. But there, to me, there is no way that Charlotte gets added to this match. People are thinking that because Charlotte is still the Raw Women's Champion. We already talked about correct. That. They're going to just hand each other the titles. But
see, that's what you say. I don't believe that. I think they're going to have both women's titles on SmackDown for a bit. I think they're literally going to have no title on Raw for at least, I don't know, my guesstimate is a few weeks, maybe a month or two. I just feel that way, and let me explain why. No?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
No, no, no. Say, I wanted to correct you, because if I say something, okay. I honestly feel if I say this to you, you're going to be like, oh, yeah.
Charlotte, no, well, shoot. Go ahead.
If Charlotte is a SmackDown wrestler now, but still has the Raw championship, that means that Charlotte right. will be on both brands.
No. No. I don't think that they're going to do that. I think they're literally going to have her only on SmackDown with the Raw title. I think they're going to break their own rules because I don't think they care about their own rules. And if you really look at it, it also brings about the temptation of Becky two belts. It also brings out the fact that if Sasha wins, which is who my prediction is, then you can have Becky in the hunt with Charlotte and Becky in the hunt with Sasha. And Bianca Belair and Shayna Baszler and Doudrop and all these other girls that are sticking on Raw now can, well, obviously not all, but the ones that are staying on Raw can now develop themselves while the big time female champions in the main event is all on SmackDown. I don't think it's going to be for a long time, but I really have a zany feeling that they're going to try and keep both Raw and SmackDown titles on SmackDown for a little while.
Okay. So who do you think wins?
Sasha. I think Sasha's going to win it.
Okay.
Bianca's going to go away and she's going to go over to Raw and become the dominant woman on Raw amidst the other feuds that are going on. But they're going to keep the titles around Charlotte, around Sasha, and around Becky. And I think that they're going to do that for a little bit. I still have this feeling that Becky Two Belts is coming back, even for a hot minute. I just have a feeling. And the only opportunity WWE is going to be able to do it without it completely breaking continuity is right now with having both champions on one brand.
Thank you, Rocky Red. The print word for Sasha's ring is because the nickname Blueprint. Excellent. I didn't even think of that. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. For me, I don't see WWE going that deep to have two belts okay. only on one brand.
I know. It's a little convoluted.
No, no, no. But I love the idea. I think with Raw's ratings, not, you know, kind of in mud right now, to take away that title and not having it as a selling point on Raw, I think is a, you know, not a good idea for WWE's view. I think what'll happen is we will get a winner tomorrow. That winner will have the SmackDown Championship, but will be a Raw wrestler. And then we will have Sonya and Adam Pearce. You'll probably have Charlotte show up, and then the champion, who I will give you my pick in a second, that person will show up too, and they're both going to have the belts, and then basically we're going to have the same thing like they did last year with the Usos and the Street Profits, just change each other's
garbage,
titles.
Man. I don't want to see that. If they do that again, either, dude,
but
I'm throwing the remote at the television because that is the laziest story way that they do things. It's I hated that. I hated the fact that they just swapped titles.
Yes, Psycho, thank you. The New Day and the Street Profits last year. That's right. Jimmy Uso wasn't back yet. Something like that. But anyway, bottom line is, I think having the New Day and the Street Profits change the titles last year the way they did was a test to see how triggered the net would get. And the net got pretty triggered that night, and a day or two later, nobody talked about it anymore. So right. I think once they realized that, you know what, Bianca wins that championship, Bianca hands that title over to Sonya, Charlotte hands the title over to Sonya, and they just trade the belts, people will be like, you know what, at least Bianca's champion again. So I'm going with Bianca Belair to win, and I believe Bianca Belair will pin Sasha, and then Becky Lynch will cry foul that she didn't even get pinned and she lost the championship. That takes away a little bit of the, you know, the weight of the loss on Becky's record. Yeah. So, and Sasha Banks could show up on SmackDown after, and Charlotte could mock Sasha for losing at Crown Jewel, and then that could be your next feud. So I'm going with Bianca Belair to win. And then we will have the titles flip-flop like they did last year with the New Day and the Street Profits.
Right, right. No, I understand. That's exactly what I don't want to happen.
Yeah. Sam thinks the opposite. Sam thinks that Sasha Banks will pin Bianca. The only problem with that is Becky, you know, will be pissed off, and Becky can't cry foul to Sasha because Sasha's now on a different brand. If Bianca Belair wins and she pins Sasha, Becky and Bianca are on the same brand. So you could continue the Becky-Bianca feud, or maybe Asuka comes back or someone else gets involved in this, and then that's how you could shift away Becky Lynch in this title. Look, Becky Lynch is back. They're not wasting opportunities for her to be in main
events. Oh, no.
So yeah, you know, that's why, one fall, I agree with you, man. Horrible idea, but I got to think in the WWE mindset, not in our mindset.
Right.
So, by the way, much love for everybody joining us live tonight. Thank you very much. I love the 8 o'clock idea. Seriously, if AEW Dynamite, if it wasn't the fact that they were on at 8 o'clock normally on Wednesdays, I'd love to do a Wednesday show at 8 o'clock. The early nights are spectacular. I mean, we're going to be done. And it's going to be only about 8:30 your time. 9:30 my time.
Yeah.
So we only have one match left. Then we're going to jet out of here. But don't forget, tomorrow night we have Wrestling Soup at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And literally minutes after Wrestling Soup is done, tomorrow night, Q&A, live stream with yours truly, live chat the entire night. And once again, if you join me late today, we are going to show this match. It is the first ever CM Punk match in UXW. He takes on Ian Rotten, and my footage, which I own half the rights of, is uncut, uncensored, unedited. A lot of wrestle crap that has never been seen online because our video and Title Match Network made that match look like a technical masterpiece. Oh, it was far from it. When you see the unedited 20 minutes of it tomorrow, you will agree. CM Punk involved in some wrestle crap. But both of them paid nice tributes to Chris Candido. Crazy Cruiserweight, thank you very much for the Super Chat, my friend. Before we go to the final match for the evening.
You're crazy.
Crazy Jesus. Says he hopes Sasha wins. Only because Sasha is 29 years old. Not like the other two women who are over 30. He is a Sasha fan until she turns 30.
Dude. What is your hang up with age, bro? It really is a weird thing, man. God damn.
You should add like young to crazy young cruiserweight.
You like some crazy young? Is that what you're saying?
Crazy young cruiserweight.
Yeah.
You know? Crazy young female cruiserweight. Look, I have no problem with any of these women. They're at the top of their game still. Becky Lynch, obviously, is getting back in the swing of things. Having a kid and being out for a year will do that to anybody.
Wait a minute. Bianca Belair is older than Sasha Banks?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Not by much. Yeah, it's not by much.
Fair enough.
That's why we're doing the chat tonight. All of you have been posting your predictions. And like I said, over the weekend, I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at this chat replay. And I'm going to check out some of you out there that got all the matches right. And I'm going to be pretty damn impressed. And for some of you out there that got tons of shit wrong, we will laugh at you. You will know. We will laugh. No, I get a lot wrong, too. I just lie. All right. Let's get into this last match, shall we? Now, again, this on no way am I saying that this is going to be the final match of the night. I truly, truly believe that this could very well be within the first two or three matches of the night.
Right.
Because SmackDown is the next day. It's not like you're going from New York to California. You're going from the United States to Saudi Arabia. And there's time difference and everything else. And they got to get back ASAP. If these were Raw wrestlers, I would say otherwise. The fact that Roman Reigns has to appear on SmackDown the next night and have the belt, because I believe he's going to retain. I don't think there's any question about it.
Right.
He's got to get on his private plane. I think people thought we were nuts when you and I said, like, 2 weeks ago that Roman Reigns flies there by himself. I mean, he's got other people on the plane, too, probably the Usos and some others. But Roman Reigns, he's on a private jet. He's not mingling. Right. He's not doing interviews, meet and greets. He's flying on the plane, getting to Saudi Arabia, going right to the hotel. And then from the hotel to the arena, do the match, go from there back to the hotel, back to the plane, fly back. So I still think that this match could go on early. Roman Reigns is retaining. The big question is, how does Roman Reigns retain?
I believe Brock Lesnar is going to win this match via DQ. I believe the Usos are going to get involved. We're just talking about a singles match, people. There is no special stipulation in this. So if Roman literally wants to take the belt and walk to the back for the 20 count, he could fucking do that too. I think Brock is going to win this match. But the real story, I think, here is going to be Paul Heyman. I think that the Paul Heyman pimple is finally come to a head. And there's going to be something that happens to where Paul Heyman definitively makes his choice tomorrow night. And I think that that is going to be a very important thing that happens between these two guys. Because the match, I think when you said predictable, DT, I don't think I've seen anybody say that Brock Lesnar is going to win the title. You're right. Roman Reigns is going to retain the title. Now, as to who wins or loses, it almost doesn't matter as long as you believe that Roman Reigns is walking out with the belt. But as far as storyline goes, I think there's going to be a lot added to the Paul Heyman feature. And as far as how Brock wins, I think it'll be because of disruption from the Usos. So,
see, I don't think Paul is going to turn on Roman for the simple reason that Brock Lesnar is not a full-time performer. So Paul Heyman has been on, unless they want to give
Paul
Heyman.
That's not how I meant it.
No, I know, but I'm just saying in my, my point of view. Maybe Paul Heyman needs a break. I mean, he does have family. He does have outside projects. He is older, and there is a lot of traveling involved, no question. So Paul Heyman, maybe he wants a little time off. If they're going to take Paul Heyman off of TV, I don't necessarily believe that Paul Heyman will turn on Roman Reigns and then something happens and then because just by default, because Brock Lesnar is not on every week, Paul Heyman will not be on every week. I don't believe that. I think what could happen is Paul Heyman, you know, maybe it appears like he might be on the fence for Brock Lesnar and maybe a little bit torn. But I think in the end, I think Roman Reigns is going to be the one to turn on Paul Heyman. The problem everybody's that everybody is not thinking about is Paul Heyman is not going to start taking crazy bumps in a beatdown
if Roman turns on it. You could do a simple forearm. You could do a bump. So in my visualization, Roman at some point gets upset and clowns and just hits Paul Heyman. And Brock sees this and goes into a rampage, goes into an absolute rampage. And he starts murdering Usos on his way to go after Roman, who Roman leaves the arena with his belt, and Paul Heyman is injured on the ground. I don't think you need any kind of crazy setup for Paul Heyman. You could literally do a bump. Maybe he bounces off the steps or something. Like, you don't have to do anything crazy. But at that point, you're also showing that Brock Lesnar still cares about Paul Heyman as a person. And Roman Reigns is willing to throw Paul Heyman to the wolves like he's done before. So
this is a spectacle tomorrow.
Yes.
It's not, you know, the storylines in a lot of cases have been tweaked for Saudi Arabia purposes. I don't see a whole lot changing between Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman right now, unless Paul Heyman wants some time off. I think if Paul Heyman is still a week, every week guy on TV, then Paul Heyman will not be involved as much as everybody thinks. I think we'll see some times where Paul Heyman looks a little torn with the facial reactions, but I think in the end, I think that the Usos definitely will get involved. The only question to me is, do the Usos cause a disqualification for Brock to win, or does Brock, you know, just go after the Usos and ends up counting out of the ring, or he just starts fucking with everybody?
So you don't believe that Roman's going to lose that title, though?
No, there's no question. Roman is not losing that title. But I also believe there's going to be fuckery no matter what. I think the Usos definitely will get involved. Absolutely. There will be some fuckery. I'd be shocked to shit if Brock Lesnar were to get pinned. I don't see that happening either. Really what it comes down to is if the Usos get involved to cause the disqualification. But then again, I can't see Roman Reigns showing up on SmackDown and touting the fact that he got disqualified. I could see the Usos distracting Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar maybe gets counted out, or maybe Brock Lesnar just starts, you know, using like chairs or uses a table or something, and the referee disqualifies him. I see one of those two scenarios, but I do not see Roman Reigns winning, losing the title, and I don't see Brock Lesnar getting pinned. I mean, unless there is a major distraction and there's a fruit roll-up. You know, because Brock is not going to lose credibility with a fruit roll-up if there's all this crazy distraction. Maybe Paul Heyman distracts Brock Lesnar and there's a fruit roll-up. But there's going to be fuckery in the finish. Match will pivot.
Oh, yeah, totally. But I believe everything pivots around Paul Heyman tomorrow. I really do. Like, Brock versus Roman is an important aspect of this match considering they're the two competitors. But I really think we're going to get another tier, another level of the Paul Heyman storyline.
Yeah. Mike Kelson, we're not going to get the Bloodline versus the Hurt Business unless the Usos lose the tag titles, because it's champions versus champions at Survivor Series.
Right.
So, you know, that's, that's why when people were like, who's Roman going to feud with next? Well, probably Big E. You're going into Survivor Series. I mean, look, you're going to see people from Raw still show up on SmackDown and vice versa for Survivor Series. So at points, you're going to see, I'm telling you right now, spoiler alert, you're going to see people on social media bitching and complaining, saying, the fuck was the purpose of this draft for? There's still people showing up here and there. Well, it's because we got Survivor Series. That's why, as long as you're enjoying what you're watching, that's all that should matter. That's all that should matter. But with that said, we are going to close this out. Because in less than 24 hours, hell, in about 12 hours, we're going to start getting ready for Crown Jewel. So don't forget, everyone, if you are on the East Coast, the kickoff show starts at 11 a.m. Eastern. The main event pay-per-view starts at 12 noon Eastern. If you live on the West Coast, California time, like Mitch said earlier, the kickoff show starts at 8 a.m. your time for babies. And the event starts at 9. And, yeah, I'll be up here tomorrow right after the pay-per-view live to give you my thoughts. Mitch, are you doing a recap after?
Yeah, we'll be doing it probably during Wrestling Soup that starts live at 7:30 on Thursday night. So.
All right. Yeah. So, everyone, we thank you for joining us tonight. Much love to everybody thank who you. Interacted. I'm dead serious. I'm going to check out some of your predictions going back because some of you have some badass ideas that I want to check out. And if any of you had some crazy ideas and it ends up happening, you know, you will definitely get some shout outs from me tomorrow. But don't forget, for my channel members here, within the hour, I'm going to put up a little contest, you know, and for anybody on Patreon or anyone else that's a little upset, you know, number one, we have a very small group of channel members here. So, you know, it's right, not a big right. contest. And number two, on Patreon, we're going to do NXT TakeOver Halloween Havoc predictions next week. So, Mitch, any final thoughts?
No, much love. Hope everybody enjoys the show tomorrow. Hopefully most of you people can get up to watch the damn thing. Yeah. And if not, hope you guys stick around for our shows later on in the evening while we do coverage of Crown Jewel. So much love. See you tomorrow. Thank you very much, everybody. Subscribe on the Patreon as well as subscribe on the YouTube.
Be well, Mitch.
GT.
Thank you.
I'll see you.
Fun talk.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. I thank you very much for joining us tonight. I'm going to exit out here before it hits 90 minutes. And, you know, hey, in the comment section, and I know you can't post a comment until the show's over. In the comment section, post your predictions. I will, actually, in the description box, I have all the matches listed. So post your predictions, you know, for bragging rights. And we'll see who has the right to brag after tomorrow that they got everything right. I think it's going to be a damn good pay-per-view. You know, $50 million will do that. But I think it's going to rival SummerSlam, and I think without a doubt it's going to be better than WrestleMania. So, you know, afternoon show, you know, we'll see how it goes, and we'll see what The Undertaker does. You know, Undertaker in Saudi Arabia, I mean, you don't pass up an opportunity for that live Saudi crowd to not see The Undertaker. And I know they could do it before the event starts, you know, no, you put him on that show. The big question is, what do they do? So, everyone have a great night. Now, don't forget, tomorrow I will be up here twice. Join me right after Crown Jewel. I'll be here live. Lunch with DT. We'll talk the pay-per-view. And then tomorrow night at 10.05 p.m. Eastern, once again, we will be doing the live stream, the Q&A, chat room questions all night long. And I'm going to air that exclusive video of CM Punk versus Ian Rotten from 2005. This was right before he had the tryout match with WWE. I think he had it like 3 days later. And yeah, you got an extended moon over Broadway. That's why I had to censor it with Jeff Hardy's head. But it's going to be a fun show. Both are going to be fun. So if you enjoyed tonight's show, as always, hit that like button. And if you are not a subscriber yet, please do. I think we are this close. Did we hit 21,000 yet? I think we are on the verge. We were within 40 today of 21,000. So that's going to be awesome, breaking 21,000. And like a lot of you requested, you know, people want to see a DTKC reunion episode, at least one. And I, you know, based on the amount of requests, I said, this channel hits 50,000 subscribers, then I will definitely, you know, put the invite out there and we'll see if it's accepted. I think we'll get to 50,000 by next year. I really do. I really do. But I want to thank you all for the support. Enjoy Crown Jewel if you're going to watch it. And I'll be here tomorrow night. So, night, everybody. Much love. Talk to you soon. Mitch, what the hell did you do with your eyes? He always does that. People freak out. He looks possessed. Much love, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.